I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and we are happy to welcome a duo to our studios, who are new to our studios. They're called The Rough and Tumble. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And you guys are Mallory, what's your last name, man?
Mallory Graham.
And?
Scott Tyler.
Well, welcome, guys. And this was kind of a last-minute thing. Mallory, you had messaged me or emailed me about the show, and I checked out your stuff, and I was like, I think we need to have these guys in the studio, even though it's kind of last minute. Let's do it. And you have a show coming up tomorrow night at Tycoons in Duluth. Just to let people know, it's an early show. It's at 6 o'clock.
Yes, that's right.
So it's kind of a dinner show.
Yes.
And you actually played at the Red Herring Lounge last night.
Is that right?
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've had this little spell in Duluth. Have you ever been here before?
No. Your first trip? Okay. We just landed here.
We did
yesterday.
Yeah.
And we're happy to have done so.
And when Mallory says landed here, she means we drove here in our camper.
Yeah.
And
which always feels a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not at all like flying.
It's a bumpier landing sometimes, but it all works out.
And you guys have a great story, hitting the road with your camper. And I'll talk to you about that. But let's get started with a song first. What do you want to play first?
Absolutely. This is a song called Baggage, which we wrote just shortly after getting a camper. So here we go. Well, I got a bone to pick with you from back when we were younger. 4 in the morning, we were getting home late from a weekend at your brother's. We'd been fighting about a little thing, and your words couldn't get out stronger. Said, what's the matter with keeping all the baggage in the middle of the bed tonight? What's the matter with keeping all the baggage in the middle of the bed tonight? Oh, babe, I'd rather throw it down with you than throw you out and go without you now. A few years later, yeah, we got a little doggy who would hog all of the covers. She's big and drooly and a little bit stinky, but I guess it doesn't really matter. We'd been fighting about a little thing, she crawled to her mother. Said, what's the matter with keeping little doggies in the middle of the bed tonight? What's the matter with keeping little doggies in the middle of the bed tonight? Oh, babe, I'd rather throw it down with you than throw you out and go without you now. Thinking while we've been drinking all night till it gets real early. Not the headaches, and I think it's the memories that finally get me. We can take any little thing and turn into a fight. Oh, what's the matter with keeping liquor bottles in the middle of the bed tonight? What's the matter with keeping little doogies in the middle of the bed tonight? Hey, what's the matter with keeping tonight?
That's The Rough and Tumble live from Studio A and Baggage. That seems very autobiographical.
Yes.
They mentioned the dog, and the dog is a very important part of what you do, I think. Butter, right?
Yes, yep, Butter.
And
she's a 88-pound bull mastiff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And very cute. I can see her right now.
We have a sneaking suspicion she hates music because every time we start playing, she immediately falls asleep. And so we just keep her around to boost our self-esteem, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Keeps morale up.
So you guys were in Nashville before you bought the camper and hit the road. How long were you in Nashville for?
About 5 years. Was it 5 years? Yeah.
Yeah.
About 5 years we were there. And then we did the weekend warrior thing where we would go out on tour, come back and work a few jobs each, and then make enough money to go back out on the road again. And it got to the point where we couldn't split our brains anymore to do it. So we and then our landlord left us without heat for about 12 days during an ice storm, and we said, that's enough, we're done.
So
it's a sign.
Got out of our lease agreement there and bought a camper and hit the road.
And that was over a year ago, right?
Over a year ago.
And it's had some ups and downs, I'd imagine.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. Some really beautiful views and some broken axles. Right. So we...
That sounds like a song, beautiful views and broken axles. Probably sometimes at the same time.
Yes, often at the same time.
Let's hear some tales from the road. I always like to hear, okay, let's hear the worst case scenario of how things have gone. And then the best case of this over a year on the road that you've done.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like our touring life is a lot about just being the owner of an RV and, you know, a camper. And so like we're dealing with, leaky leaky ceiling right now.
Mm-hmm.
These rains, as soon as we got here to Michigan and to Minnesota, we
wake up in the middle of the night to water on our faces. And so we're going to get that worked out, but that's just the life of a camper,
you know, and finding parking spots is always,
always
a really big hassle.
We had two blown out tires within 2 weeks last summer, which then we found out was a broken axle, which then we found out somehow broke our shower. And so there was all kinds of things that were.
Now, have you ever had to miss a show because of these problems, or does it usually work out?
No, we barely made that one. Yeah. The second blown out tire, we made it within minutes. So we,
we just scraped by. The only time we had to cancel a show was actually not the camper's fault. It was Butter's fault. She got attacked by a wild javelina
in Arizona. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
If you don't know what a wild javelina is, it's a boar. It looks like a boar.
It's actually a rodent of unusual size. It's an ROUS,
and it has these front teeth that
that
sharpen themselves every time it opens and closes its mouth.
Yeah.
And we were out on a hike and Butter was off leash and she chased after it. She thought it was a dog.
Yeah. And then she had her insides on her outsides. So then we had to go and take her and have her insides put back on her insides.
Yeah. But other than that, that's the only time that we that we had to cancel a show this last year, to my recollection.
Yeah.
And then, you know, looking at your blog, you know, occasionally you had some, like, you had a rough time in Vermont.
Yes, Vermont was a little tough.
Some sparse shows, but then it all turned around.
Yeah, it totally did. And that's the thing. It's always right about the time that we kind of lose it, where we're like, I think what we said in the blog at some point, because what we were saying in real life was nobody even knows we're out here. Nobody knows what we're doing. Like, we're crazy people because we just keep doing this thing that nobody cares about, and live music is dead. And we're like trying to reinstate vaudeville or something. It's just not, you know, but actually vaudeville is making a comeback. So it's a little hopeful. And then as soon as we're on the phone, with our buddy Ryan almost every night telling him like, we're failing out here, man. And then within 24 hours, something amazing happens because
it always does.
And it always does. Like, people come out to our shows, or like one person comes out to our shows and says, I've been listening to you for years. I've been following you forever. And we're like, yes, we love Stalkers. And it works out. It works out really, you know, you have to be bipolar, I think, in order to be a musician some way, or at least be able to function with those.
Yeah. Ebbs
and flows.
Take the bad with the good, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
So pre-camper, so you were in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Where did you come from before then? How'd you end up there?
We spent a couple years in Asheville, North Carolina before that. Asheville to Nashville. And then I am originally from Western Pennsylvania. Scott is from Central California. And we met at a study away program on Martha's Vineyard for the winter, where we were just trapped by snow and cold with 30 other students. And then after that semester, we were all really close. So we said, let's start an artist commune. Let's all graduate and go to Asheville. So that's kind of how that ended up. And then I moved to Nashville, and then Scott moved to Nashville. And we were like, enough following each other around. Let's just start this band.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So you started the band. You bought a camper.
Yeah.
Did you get married in there at some point?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought.
Yeah. 4 months ago.
Yeah.
We got married on Leap Year Day.
Oh. Okay. Makes your anniversary easy to remember.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's how we're planning on keeping the marriage young.
Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
only celebrating it every 4 years.
But so. Can't keep our jokes young.
It's true. Yeah.
No, they're, but we sure can't.
I just turned 31, and I feel like I've reached this whole other level of joke telling. You know, the jokes that were reserved for.
You made a hand motion up, but I think you should have. Made
I should have made it down.
A
yeah.
whole other level yeah. of.
It's, you know.
And so, at what point were you, did you start collaborating on music? You might've said that.
It was, us together.
Yeah, the two of you.
It was about eight years ago,
yeah.
On the vineyard.
Yeah. You know, things like I played electric guitar in Mallory's rock band back yeah. when she had a rock band. And
oh, you had a rock band.
I was a rock and roller.
Nice.
And yeah. Scott was a sad singer songwriter. Yeah. So I would join him sometimes. To keep him from crying,
make me a little bit
stage.
Less sad. And, so we used to play in this double decker bus in Asheville that was turned into a coffee shop, and it's just parked there on the corner. And every Friday night we had this standing gig where we'd go up to the second story
where you couldn't stand up straight; you had to like lean over to play your instruments.
Mm-hmm. And every Friday night we'd go, and they'd pay us $30.
15 each,
get us a free cup of coffee, and we'd sit up there and sometimes play to, you know, just nobody that actually wanted to hear music. and then, you know, hop into the car, count the change, and go buy a bottle of wine. And mm-hmm. But it was a really fun experience where we just got to, like, kind of get to know each other and get to know each other's voices and, you know,
yeah.
and what it means to, you know, to sing with somebody. And, mm-hmm.
Yeah, just took a couple of years.
It did, yeah.
And do you guys write together as well?
We do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we do everything together. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything without this guy now.
It's a 16-foot camper.
Like anything. I can't do anything without this guy. But some people call us codependent.
Yeah.
We like to just think we're in love.
Yeah. We're close.
We're
yeah.
close. Very close.
You kind of have to be to be in that situation and be yeah. in that camper. And,
yeah.
and I'm sure you had to think about that before you hit the road. How is this going to... And you've got the dog taking up some yep. space there, too.
Yeah.
So,
at least it's something we should have thought of before.
she seems pretty mellow, though. So.
Yeah. She sleeps about 18 hours a day, so...
Well, and you have an album out, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, but why don't you play us another tune?
Sure.
Absolutely. So this one's going to be off that new album, Pieces and Pieces. It's the song's called Dog in This Fight.
There's a lot of shouting here tonight. There's a lot of people crowding my left and right. It's not for money and it's not my pride. I just know I got a dog in this fight. All I know is I got a dog in this fight. Who's gone and lost his head tonight? Who's gone and lost his head tonight? Who's gonna throw down this on no win fight? Who's gonna lost his head tonight?
My girl can be fierce, can be mean. My girl's more muscle than she is machine. She might be angry and she might be right. I know she's got a dog in this fight.
Who's gonna lost her head tonight? Who's gonna lost her head tonight? Who's gonna throw down beds on no wind fight? Who's gonna lost her head tonight? There I gone and lost my head tonight.
Who's gone?
Who's gone?
Who's gone?
Who's gone? Who's gone? Who's gonna lose a bet tonight?
Who's gone?
Who's gone? Who's gonna lose the head tonight? Who's gonna lose the head tonight? Who's gonna throw down that song? No wind fight. out in here tonight.
There's no one standing on my left or right.
Square your jaw, man.
No end in sight.
Don't you know you got a dog in this fight?
We got more than just a dog in this fight.
Everybody's got a dog in this fight.
That's the Rough and Tumble live from Studio A. And dog in this fight, right? And so your new album, Pieces and Pieces, actually is something that you wrote to go along with the movie. Is that right? That a friend of yours was doing?
Yeah. Our friend Alyssa Pearson was making her kind of her first short film. And it's called Pieces and Pieces. And it's a story about a mother who comes home from war, from Desert Storm, and about her struggle to readjust to being a mother, being a, you know, a wife, being a, you know, a person not at war.
Yeah.
And we don't know much about PTSD. You know, I don't think we've ever experienced it or, you know, been around too many people who have had it, but
that we know of.
That we know of. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, we got a chance to kind of do some research and, definitely dig into the characters that were presented in the movie. And we realized that we're a lot more similar, you know, to people struggling with PTSD than we realized mm-hmm. we were. And
we got a lot more understanding into it and a lot more compassion, definitely. And not that we would ever compare our situation to that, but what it came down to, we realized, was just broken relationships, like people breaking down and unable to communicate with other people because of different, you know, the different stories that we're telling ourselves. And so I think where we ended up writing from was a place of complete honesty about our own relationship and about ourselves, which was strange. Like we kind of expected to kind of put on this story that's outside of ourselves, but ended up, I think this is probably our most honest record about ourselves that we've ever written. Just trying to get into the head of somebody else. So we're really proud of it.
It's taught us a lot about, you know, what it means to try and understand someone and what it means to empathize with someone mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, just taking the time to, try and walk a mile and, you know, in someone else's shoes and that whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that last tune was from the album, right?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. how does that fit into it? Into the whole experience that you're talking about?
We've been thinking a lot about this. This morning I opened up my news feed and I swear every person had hashtag Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I think we're what we're learning is that you know, when our neighbor is not okay,
the rest of us aren't okay either. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think I think that sympathizing with other people, empathizing with other people, is just it's all part of the same community. Just understanding that. It's not just my dog in this fight. It's not yours. In fact, everybody has a dog in this mm-hmm, fight, and we're mm-hmm. all watching. We're all watching the fight take place, and we need to find a way to bring peace, or we're not going to make it. You know. So we, boy, what an emotional week this has been, on all sorts of levels. So it was strange last night because at the lounge there was, I think what was happening was there was a Black Lives Matter protest happening outside, and what was happening inside is we were singing about PTSD, and it was this realization for me that it was like, no, we are all singing about the same problem. Like we're all trying to fight for the same thing, and that is just not just can we all get along, but just can we see each other? Can we see each other for who we actually are, and can we interact?
Can we recognize our brothers and sisters?
Yeah, yeah. So,
and so this thing that you had already written, kind of, you were seeing how it applies to what's going on right
it's
now.
It's just been moving around. Like it has been such a slippery little devil. This this little soundtrack that we made has just been applying everywhere to us personally, to this cause that we originally didn't expect to be mouthpieces for, to the causes that are popping up everywhere that aren't causes, they're people. Yeah. And I think that's what we realize is like these songs aren't just songs, they're stories, and they're stories of people who we haven't even met yet, you know? So that was a lot.
They're pretty universal in a way, in a way, and maybe in a way that you didn't realize when you were writing them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. All right. Well, we have time for one more. What do you guys want to wrap up with here?
Well, here's a song called called July Shivers. It too is from the Pieces and Pieces soundtrack.
We'll try not to cry through it, huh?
No.
Heat has got us cold, as if you don't want my love at all. Our golden house is good as sold, if you don't want my love at all. Spit my pleas into your lung, and I'll cradle tiny bluebird songs. 7 years of southern brawl, love at all.
Head out west, lead your tide. I'll be a steady eastern sky. If you don't find what you're looking for,
you don't need my love no more. You don't want my love at all. Scrape will do us in. You don't want my love again. I'll wash up and treat you right, if you will have me in tonight.
Don't you want my love? Don't you want my love? Don't you want?
Is the Rough and Tumble live from Studio A, and another one from your Pieces and Pieces album, right?
Yep.
And now the movie for that, your album is out, but the movie's not out yet, right?
It is not, and we're apparently films take a long time to, you know, to get made and to get finished, and
music
all that, so.
Musicians get impatient for the films to come out, and they release those songs.
Right now there's a website, piecesandpieces.com, sometime, someday, the film will come out. So,
yeah.
So you said you were in Nashville for 5 years, and tell me about making music there and what you, where you played there and what things were like for you there.
Yeah, Nashville is a great town to be a musician in.
It's also a terrible town to be a musician in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because they're you know, everybody is a musician, which is awesome, which means you can, you know, stumble upon anybody's home studio and, you know, just have a really good experience there. And so we did a lot of our recording in Nashville and
played a lot of house shows is what we ended up doing. A lot of, because there are so many great venues, and we played a couple of them. We really love the Five Spot. We really love you know, as featured in the hit show Nashville. But there were a few places, but what we really loved in Nashville was being able to come home from touring and be in friends and friends of friends' living rooms and just have people gathered in various places. And that is kind of a movement that we've hopped on nationwide, and it's a movement that a lot of people in Nashville are definitely spending more time investing in, is the House Show Network, just because it's a time to actually be intimate and together and not be the weird vibe that sometimes happens when you walk into a venue and there's this competitive nature to walking into under big lights and, you know, big soundboards sort of thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of house shows, but we... Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
And then what made you make that leap to say, all right, we're just going to hit the road now? What?
Yeah, aside from being cold.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about the landlord.
The landlord thing
was just kind of provided a real, you know...
reason to go.
Yeah, kick in the, in the behind. But I think when we realized that we just didn't have time to actually... do enough music things. Like there came this point where we were realizing that, you know, our real job is to stay on the computer and book shows. And, you know, our real job is to...
which is a full-time job.
Yeah. Travel out to those shows and, you know, and play, play songs for people. And it just, there needed to be a change in our mind. And, you know, we just didn't feel like we could do it all trying to pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you have some other albums out? Did you make them when you were in Nashville?
Mm-hmm. We did. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All of our records were in Nashville, through a couple of different friends or producers we met through friends, sort of thing. So,
And those were probably kind of the old fashioned way where instead of having this kind of, assignment that you did for this movie, you kind of just had the songs that you
ready. Yeah.
What was different about it, about that, about doing it with the assignment in mind?
It was more freeing in this way. It was strangely, I'm apparently somebody who likes boundaries, and I think we both really enjoyed the opportunity to write for someone else and being able to disguise ourselves for just a second to be able to write freely.
Absolutely.
I think when you put out songs that are just songs, everyone assumes they're autobiographical, or everyone assumes different things about your songs. But if you get to say, oh no, this is about this other thing, then you're kind of putting up a decoy to actually write about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So it kind of goes back to this this thing you told me about once. You were reading, I don't know,
something.
Psychology
I read a lot of
or something.
I'm reading and, psychology.
And apparently couples that watch TV shows together are actually able to talk about their, you know, relational problems
easier
because they're not talking about their own relational problem. Like they're not talking about their own relationship.
They're saying that character, when that person does that,
right.
I would feel this way if that character did that.
Exactly. And so it is a weird decoy thing where, you know, where you're able to talk about
it.
Things just, you know, by putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. And So
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, guys. This has been a pleasure. I'm glad that we made this work on short notice.
Yeah.
And where are you and the camper heading off to next after your gig tomorrow night?
After tomorrow, we are actually heading down to Minneapolis, and we're going to be playing at Harriet Brewing Sunday afternoon. Then we have a couple days off. We're going to bebop around Minneapolis, we think.
Yeah.
Get our camper fixed because we're leaking.
Because it's raining. But we're playing all around Minnesota this next month. We're going to be in Minocqua and St. Paul. And
we're crossing over the border at one point to go to La Crosse.
We'll be up near... there are all these cities that I've never been to.
Nevis and Gray Eagle. Uh-huh. And we have all kinds of things in store. We're exploring Minnesota. That's what we're doing.
Well, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoy it while you're here.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming in, guys.
Thank
it's been
you.
A pleasure.
This is awesome.
For having us.
That was The Rough and Tumble live from Studio A. Again, they're playing tomorrow night at Tycoons in Duluth. It's an early show. Starts at 6:00. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Quentin Stille and Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.